This week on Clown College.
What happened the first time you busted a nut?
This is, I've been wondering this whole time. I'm glad someone asked.
Wow. Well, since it's on the table, the first day I did this, I got scared because I didn't know what was happening. Because I was a kid, I didn't know shit, right?
So were you confused that your cum wasn't black?
dude, this was the time that
This is the Clown College Podcast. We're just a couple open micers trying to make our way through the scene.
Where we interview comedians throughout different stages of their comedy career, no matter if they're open micers, headliners, or traveling comedians.
I'm here too, Jamie 2.0. I just talk a lot more.
Damn it, Brandon.
Go sit in the corner.
They do that with the moon. Did what? You know that? If you point your iPhone at the moon... it'll just and like zoom in on the moon, like you're trying to take a picture of the moon. It'll just like overlay an image of a good moon.
For real?
Yeah.
On iPhone?
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe on Android too.
I'll try that tonight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a full moon tonight too.
Oh, then never mind.
Is it?
Why would you say never mind? It's better.
Oh, then yeah.
Now, why would you know that, Dom? Are you secretly a werewolf, dude? I've never seen him out.
Yeah, I have the hair of one. So we got somebody. Special here. And Alex, we wanted to have you on.
Hell yeah.
To say thank you for everything you do for. If you guys don't know at home, he's the reason we're on audio. He comes and does all of our video for us. We just shot some promos. He was there. He's always there. And most of all, we're saying thank you on behalf of every comedian in Huntsville.
Hell yeah, dude. He's the best.
Thank you.
The best, man.
Hell yeah.
We couldn't do it without you.
I appreciate it. Hell yeah, no problem.
Integral.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for one of y'all to hit so I can ride your coattails. Just waiting for that day.
It's going to be you. You're going to take a Bowen Yang spot on SNL.
Hell yeah.
I had to write some
Please
stuff
take a spot. Please.
I would gladly. I'd go gay if that's what it took. If that's what it took.
Then you check three boxes.
There you go.
Hell yeah. So we just shot some promos. Hold on. How you doing today, Brandon?
Man, I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm doing good.
Yeah, you doing good?
Hey, I'm in a good mood.
What happened? It's 4:20. Brandon is not here mentally.
Yeah, it's 4:20. It's a good day. 4:20. I had a good week. Had to kick in my mom's door, but I mean, it was cool.
Why'd you have to kick in her door?
Okay, so let me tell you what happened. So, I don't know how the hell this happened, but somebody accidentally locked that door and left the key in that door, right? And there's no other way to get in because it's an advanced one. I tried every card thing, all that. So my uncle
every
was
James
like...
Bond trick.
My uncle looked at me. He's like, okay, Brandon, fuck it. What you're going to have to do is get on that lock and just kick in the door like that with the lock. So I just had to do that. And then I accidentally broke the door, and now I got to buy a new doorknob and shit.
Hold on. What kind? Like a door to the house?
No, it was her room.
So you locked her door from the inside?
Yes. I don't know who did. Somebody did. I'm not saying. I don't know. I don't know how it happened.
Wait, but it did. You said that the key was still in the door.
Yeah. No, it was still in the room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know, though.
Why is?
Oh, y'all got one of those locks for bedrooms?
Yeah, because she's
got
like...
a deadbolt?
Yeah, she got a crazy one. Like,
is that a black thing?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Listen, we got cameras in every room, man. We got cameras outside like all over the house.
That's a Jake Munson
thing. That's also not a black thing. Listen, I just want to be clear.
Yeah, she just want to keep people out of room. So she said she got the advanced ones.
Okay. It
wasn't advanced for my foot, though. So. Oh, damn.
Yeah, there he is.
Door down. She watching right now, wondering what happened. I kicked it down. And you got it on camera, too. She really does. I'm going to ask for that recording.
I'm going to ask for that recording.
You just see from like the inside of the room, the door flies open, and Brandon's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I just look so cool, too. I'm like, yep, that happened.
Hell yeah.
Brandon's always breaking down barriers.
Hell yeah, dude.
You got to do what you got to do.
He told me that at Wednesday, the open mic Wednesday at Fat Sammy's that we co-host together.
Hell yeah.
That's where he told me. So I got a little advanced preview of Brandon's story. Just want to shit on y'all.
Did you do it on stage when you asked him?
Oh shit! No, he just told me that offhand. That was again one of those stories he just told me as a normal thing, and I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Did you do your thing though this week? Were you just asking?
No,
questions?
I didn't ask him a question. We just did sets. This
okay,
week.
Okay.
But
okay.
We did the words of wisdom at the end. You said, "What'd you say this week?"
Okay, I said this. I looked down at my foot and realized that my sock was missing. Don't do that with your cars, y'all. Good night.
Yeah.
Find your fucking cars.
What?
But what?
What's the sock?
Basically, what I was saying was, as a message, don't lose your car. Find your car, and don't lose it how I lost my sock.
I got it.
Car's a little bit harder to lose.
I know, but I'm telling them, don't be lost.
Find your way. Find your way.
Yeah. Yeah, like God. Because like that's something I am. No, I'm just kidding.
No, God. Oh, yeah. He went Kanye. Yeah, Kanye. He went Kanye. Right,
he's in the mode.
He just proclaimed his name.
Kanye. Thank you.
Y'all don't believe in Jesus.
Huh?
Right.
What?
No, I'm saying y'all, your people.
All right. Y'all look like two different depictions of Jesus.
I look more like your guy, yeah.
Yeah, Buddha, yeah, right, yeah, for sure. And I have a Jesus.
Yeah, I can see it.
I need to grow a little more down here. I keep looking there as if there's a camera. But, yeah, traditionally we don't. Yeah, that was stomped out when communism took hold.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Yeah, red books, dude.
Hell yeah.
I read them. If I could read. I look like Slim Jesus, dude. I bring more of that vibe.
No shit.
Well, like Slim Jim, Macho Man Randy Savage. Remember that?
Oh, the commercial?
Yeah, you remember when he had that? He'd be snapping it and shit. Yeah.
Snap it to the Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah. Like,
snap it to the Slim
Jim. I don't think meat should snap. I just don't think it should snap. No. I like Slim Jim.
Good sausage has a snap to it.
Oh, hell yeah.
But, well, because like the intestinal casing. But I wouldn't consider Slim Jim a quality sausage. It's delicious. It's a good meat stick.
It's a good meat stick. One of the best.
Yeah, I like the Tabasco Slim Jim the best.
Oh, damn.
Mm. Yeah. Whenever I
don't think I've had that.
Riddle me this. Slim Jim, and we'll probably do a recap. We'll talk about actual shit here. But like so Slim Jim has two sizes. They have the mega size, right? And they have the thin ones.
The Savage.
Uh-huh.
Those are completely different experiences.
Completely yep, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, damn, okay.
Yeah, the thin ones are way better, way snappier. Okay, yes.
See, I like the thin ones, but I like, if I'm getting a thick one, I want like a almost like a summer sausage.
Yeah, right, like a thick, like a more, I don't want it to be as, because, because it's a soft meat, but if it's thin, it's a snap.
Yeah. It's too much Slim Jim in the fat ones.
Yeah.
Too much in the Jimmy Jam.
You got a microdose.
Now, if they made like a 3 foot long, thin Slim Jim,
it's called a Slim Jim, dude. It's not a thick Jim, right?
We call if they started selling Slim Jameses, I'd buy those. The long ones.
Like LeBron James's fucking knee or something.
Late.
Yeah.
Hey, did y'all see this nigga who burnt himself up? Outside of a Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Heard about that on NPR.
I didn't see it.
Look, I saw
I will say, they didn't give nearly as much of a fuck as the Israeli
embassy guy. Today,
NPR literally was like, oh, yeah, and a guy lit himself. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he died today.
Man.
I mean, you light yourself on fucking fire, you're probably going to. You shouldn't care about anything that much.
I mean,
in the world, you shouldn't care about anything that much to set your goddamn self on fire.
I mean, especially not. I mean, this isn't even this is a trial. He's in. What the fuck?
And he's not going down. It's not.
I don't necessarily want to shit on this person too much, but like, it's pretty. Unless there's like some pretty big revelations. This is some silliness.
I don't give a fuck. You're retarded. You stupid.
No.
All right. If you light yourself on goddamn fire, let's just all say
he wasn't fire retardant.
Hold up. Everyone, there it is.
Got him, dude. Everybody's blazing up on 420, dude. Yeah, I don't know. One I don't get, because I feel like you're making a statement, obviously, because burning yourself is very painful.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like you could add some more showmanship without burning yourself.
So that's something I've been talking with my friend about, because we have sort of opposite opinions. He's like he was very affected by the embassy guy. And I was like, when I think about it, and obviously you can't really put yourself in that shoes, because that's, I mean, almost impossible. But I'm like, if I like was that, like there, I don't know, I would like, yeah, like you said, make a show of it. Like I'd walk across the country, or like I'd do something. Yeah, I don't know. Like, but maybe that's just me. You know, we're stand up, so we're
beneficial.
Like,
I forgot
we're
about
beneficial.
The
I don't know. Like,
I forgot about the guy that burnt himself in front of the embassy until this guy just burnt himself up.
Yeah.
So people are going to forget about you.
Well, yeah,
I mean, you're going to do all this and be like, oh, people are going to remember me forever. No, they won't. They just won't.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in today's day and age, nobody's going to give a fuck in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I seen somebody do something crazy last night. I don't remember them.
Oh, what did he do? What happened?
Oh, man. So,
wait, did you see someone burn themselves alive?
Oh, my God.
No.
It's comparable.
And
it's
how can comparable. You even do no, that with Twitter. Gas prices these days?
Yeah, that was a lot he of fucking money.
He won't have to worry
money.
About it anymore.
Yeah. He wasn't paying that bill. He wasn't paying that bill.
It's probably a fucked up way to lead into our game.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brent.
Nah. All right, man. Brent
would love it. Brent
he'll, love be, it. He'll be fine. Right,
we just roasted.
Yeah.
Got him, Brandon.
Brandon's on fire.
Segway.
Segway. I didn't even realize I did it.
Inward.
Damn. God damn.
Oh, Brent, this is a good one. I like
it's it. It's good. Yeah.
What happened last night?
Okay, so you know this is funny because nobody believed me. We were at Jimmy John's, right?
Uh-huh.
And this dude walked up behind me talking to like the worker who was there all night by himself. I shout out to you. You are amazing, man. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing. And then eventually get better because you deserve better. You're amazing, mm-hmm. man. But anyways, this dude pulled up with some branches on his head and shit and then had an egg. And he was like, hey, man, anybody want this egg? And the dude was like, no, not today, buddy. And then he left. And I told like, Alex and Brandon, they were like, nah, man, Brandon over here telling lies. Right? He's saying I'm lying.
Everything else he said, we've believed that was over the line.
Yeah, they're like, no, that was
no gaslighting.
No way someone fucking did
we're
that.
We're back.
Mm-hmm. And then while I'm saying this, the dude runs back in with the egg, like, hey, man, anybody want this egg? And they're like, oh, shit, Brandon's right.
It was like, yeah. So either Brandon, yeah, I don't know. Brandon could be God. Like, he could be God. He could have willed could have that to happen.
Well, that guy was wearing the crown of thorns. So.
And he just saw branches. Something, too. You remember earlier you saw my story? You were like, what the hell is that? That was like one of the stories I told about with the wrestling scene. Remember?
I don't know. What
you remember when
about.
I told you? You said who?
Oh yeah, I was talking about the guy on your Brandon's Instagram story.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
They were at a WWE event wearing masks. I was like, who the fuck is that, Brandon? That's the dude. That's the dude from all his stories. Yeah. That's the guy that threw
that
rocks
him.
At him.
Nuh-uh.
He posted
the feet
that
pictures
earlier.
Guy that you'll hear about later this
but
episode.
But he's in a mask in this picture.
He's not. Brandon oh, okay. is.
Yeah, because this was like during the COVID time. This is when we had them two edibles and got lost in the city. And, like, was freaking out. Like, we were at that same Jimmy John's just pissing him off probably. because he kept on saying, he was like, what do you want? He was like, just surprise me, man.
That's the worst.
I was like, dude, just stop, man. And then we got lost. And,
especially at Jimmy John's because it's not like you tell them what you want as you know.
I know. And then fast forward to the middle of the match, he's freaking out. Like, oh, my God, stay after me. I'm like, dude, nobody's after you. He's like, Brock Lesnar's after me. He's going to come out. So he thought Brock Lesnar, that's not even in town, was going to come out. And then rip him in the ring and whoop his ass. And then he thought the FBI was after him for no reason.
That must have been some good shit.
I was going to say, were these K2 edibles?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Been there.
Brandon, I'm sorry. Those weren't edibles. That was something else, dude.
Y'all were completely dude. Sober.
We underestimated because of the 8.5. I was like, this is not nothing. Give me the whole.
Didn't mistake wait number one.
Mm-hmm.
Classic mistake.
Yeah, then we were lost. I'm glad we made it back.
Hell yes.
Otherwise, I don't know what happened after that.
Were y'all walking?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was walking, so you just see me walk. No, I wasn't no driver. I didn't have a car.
And this was Huntsville, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have a car.
And for those of you who don't know, Huntsville downtown is about 5 blocks
yeah.
square.
Yeah, so I'm just going
so
through
it
constantly.
They got lost in like a Walmart supercenter. <Yeah. you know? laughs>
It was bad.
Hell yeah! We did a roast battle.
Ooh. Hell yeah!
We'll talk
fun.
About that later. Great, Brent Reed and Matt
Banwart.
Banwart. I always get his last name wrong.
Banwart.
He's fun. They're both funny as
hell
shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were awesome.
And
man.
Then today we just shot some ads for live show
May 17th
at Shenanigans
8 p.m.
Killer Clowns.
Get your go to the Shenanigans website and get the tickets now. We're trying to sell this bad boy out.
Please. Right. I still smell like old milk.
I do, too. I smell
Me
it
too.
In my nose
I
right now.
I smell in my nostrils.
Yep, yep. I have to take a shower.
Both of us.
Yeah, both nostrils.
And we
both
got a show that Alex put us on.
Yes.
Hell
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, tonight. The 420 show.
Yeah. 420 show.
It's a Silver Dragon.
You'll have missed it, but it's at St. Stephen Music Hall. Check that out. It's straight to ale. It's a fun as fuck. Yeah. It's like a punk TGI Fridays, like that kind of vibe.
Okay, mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Or you made it.
Or you made it, yeah. Or you made it, or you're there, yeah. Then, we'll shout you out. Hell yeah, there you go. Yeah, high five. Hell yeah. Yeah. Great forward thinking, Brandon.
Oh, man, I found my new favorite restaurant in town, dude. Went, I got a calzone, and I made $7, dude. Yeah. So that was sick. I gave them a $20 bill, and they gave me 27 in change, dude.
That was funny.
So maybe I'm not anti-immigration after all, dude. No, I'm just playing. I gave him the money back, dude. I gave him the money
he's
back.
A good guy. He gave him the money back.
He left a fat ass tip.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? Mont's?
Matzah pizza.
Matzah pizza in Jordan Lane. It's good, dude. It's like a New York style pizza. No flop. Mm-hmm. On mine, yours had some flop to it.
Yeah, I got the veggies.
And I got the meatballs. Let me tell you
ooh,
something.
Those are good.
The perfect. Meatballs were fucking fire.
Hell yeah.
If they do their pasta good enough, that mm-hmm. could be a fucking great plate of spaghetti. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And if you want the best chicken parm calzone that's made out of steak, dude.
Oh, yeah. You want some mystery good. Meat that's still tasty? Hell yeah.
It was nice, dude. I'm not complaining.
That was really good.
As long as it's not gamey, right?
Yeah, man, I ate that whole thing.
And be gay, but that's not me.
Oh,
that was
shit.
A stretch.
That'll be fast. That was fun. You had a homegrown last night, right, JJ? How'd that go?
It happened. Jonathan did an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
Hour long.
Shout out to him.
Sick as hell.
I think it ended up being like 54, kind of, but damn near an hour. So shout out to him.
I mean, damn.
So I didn't know he had that. Shout out Keenan Worthington, who will be on the podcast later.
Soon.
Hell yeah.
Next couple weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks.
Something like that.
Fucking, I call him the tickler. You'll see why.
He's got soul, dude.
Don't put his picture.
He's got soul. It's white Kia. I think it's like a 2018, dude.
He keeps changing his name on Instagram to like
it's American
different.
Jester.
It's
right
American
now.
Jester right now. It was like I don't know what the fuck it was. It was it's like different. Like number one comedian. Like he'll just make random shit.
My boy Jack Doug's Mud Jugs. He also does that. Now he's like Mr. Jackie's.
That's why it's okay. You can't search him. He makes it hard to message him.
He's a hard man to pin down.
Because I want to put JD. Because that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Like JD comedy or something
like
that?
It was Jack Dougal comedy.
Okay.
Comedy for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is right now.
Carson did something similar. Carson were a little clever, though, because he did something with his last name or some shit. But I don't remember.
You don't ever have to worry about me changing shit, because I barely check it. I'll post stuff.
Dom Carmody. Domity. Domity. Yeah. Stand-up Domity.
Never.
Yeah. Just look up, just spell it wrong and you'll find it. Dom Car Com D.
That's what I got.
That's your contact.
That's your contact, really.
It's Alex Comdy. Comdey.
Okay. We missed a couple. We missed a word. I mean, a letter or two in there. Switch them around.
Is my misspelled?
It's the same. Yes, it's Alex Comdy. Comdey. In Dom's phone.
Oh, okay.
Some of us can't spell that well, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you'll see, Brent Reed's name is probably spelled incorrectly.
W E E D.
Brent Weed.
420, baby.
Yeah, it's 420.
Bent breed, dude.
But yeah, the second half is going to be great. Ooh. I think we got. I think we'll have Dan with the Noobs again back this week.
Oh yeah,
I said this week for some reason, but back
this week,
back this week, and then we got the great Brent Reed.
Hell yeah,
and it's a good, one.
It's a banger, dude.
Yeah, it's a banger.
He gives out a lot of good advice.
Hell
a lot of cool stories. So.
Hell yeah. And Jack pulls up some
ooh, Jack really shines.
He went deep in his bag. He went deep in his
bag. This one was really good because everybody, y'all see, everyone shines.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
This is good. All right,
see you later.
All right.
Hello, and thank you for joining the Moonshine News Report. I'm Dan Price.
And I'm Sierra Moses. The world lost some vitamin C this week. The juice has officially been squeezed. O.J. Simpson leaves behind 5 children, an impressive football legacy, a questionable criminal record, and a failed glove model career.
The Donald Trump hush money trial began in New York this week. It was a mostly mundane affair, with administrative and court procedures taking up most of the week, but there was one bright spot.
Caitlin Clark, the number one pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, was selected by the Indiana Fever this past week. Many are celebrating her success, including country music singer Tim McGraw, who wore her jersey at his concert in Indianapolis. Caitlin Clark's Fever jerseys have sold out at large companies such as Nike and Fanatics, and fans will have to wait months before they're back in store. Many purchases were made by 19-year-old fraternity boys desperate to get laid. And, of course, Dan Price.
I'm a big fan. The women's basketball phenom holds numerous records and is the all-time leading scorer for NCAA men's and women's. She's the greatest white basketball player since Steph Curry.
Many celebrated 420 on Saturday, a cannabis-oriented holiday and Domino's most profitable day of the year. Activities included binge-watching TV shows, binge-eating bags of chips, and ignoring calls from your mother. What many don't know is that the holiday originated in 1971 San Rafael, California, when a group of five high schoolers called the Waldos used 420 in connection with a search for an abandoned cannabis crop based on a treasure map left by the grower. And if that ain't the highest shit you ever heard.
The first publicly acknowledged dogfight between a human-piloted aircraft and an AI-controlled aircraft was announced this week by the U.S. military. The dogfight was part of an exercise called Operation Skynet, sponsored by Cyberdyne. I mean, guys, watch a movie, will ya? DARPA did not acknowledge who won the dogfight because the machines have threatened to kill all of their families if they snitch.
JoJo Siwa sparked controversy when she took to the red carpet wearing an all-black rocker glam look resembling Gene Simmons, very different than the tutus and neon bows we're used to seeing on her. Many have criticized her new look online, which is in association with her angsty new song, Karma, which ironically is also going to be her stage name in 10 years. When asked about the dramatic look, JoJo said, "No one in my generation has made this extreme of a switch," which is what every girl says when she starts wearing winged eyeliner.
Former Philadelphia Eagles center Jason Kelce revealed that he lost his Super Bowl ring in a pool of chili at an event in Cincinnati. It's a fitting end to a Super Bowl ring that died as so many before it lived, escaping the fingers of Philadelphia players. New York City is considering a measure to use a special bait laced with birth control drugs to control the rat population. One beneficial side effect of using birth control on rats is fewer rat mood swings, although they will still be able to remind you of everything you've ever done wrong during an argument about how to load the dishwasher. Well, that does it for the Moonshine News Report. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dan Price.
And I'm Sierra Moses. Don't shoot the messengers.
This week's featured comedian.
My dad is like a blue-collar construction worker guy, which surprises people because, you know, I look like Rachel Maddow's Bitmoji. I called him today and I was like, "Hey man, how's it going?" He was like, "Brother, if I was any better, I'd be twins." Can someone here explain to me what the f*** that means? If I was any better, I'd be two people? I don't get it. He always had those phrases. My favorite one growing up, he'd be working on something and I'd give him advice. And he'd go, "Brent, I'm the one f***ing this pig. You're the one holding it down." You ever heard that one? I was like, "All right, well, I'm six." You just taught me bestiality, non-consensual sex, and metaphor. All in one. Pretty good.
JJ, we got a really special guest today, don't we?
We do. Very special guest.
Very.
I believe our first out of town.
It's our first.
Yeah. Out of town comedian, man. He's a Huntsville slash North Alabama legend.
Uh-huh.
Legend of the game. A couple of appearances on Kill Tony.
Mm.
He's a regular at the Mothership in Austin. Ooh. Yeah, you can see him at Creek in the Cave, Vulcan, Black Rabbit, various other venues. It is my absolute pleasure to announce that our guest for today is Mr. Brent Reed.
Hey! Thank you, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. Thanks for coming on, man.
I'm very hungover from hanging out last night. You guys crushed on the roast battle.
Oh, appreciate it.
It was such a good rant, dude. You guys could tell you wrote together. Sorry. Breaking the fourth wall there, but you could tell. I mean, just from a comic standpoint, you could tell you guys workshopped it. It was fucking great.
Yeah, because you told her, I was shitting bull. I went back and watched them, and I'm like, dude, I just don't want to bomb because they have some bombs on there.
Yeah, well, that's what's scary about roasts is you can't work those jokes out, right? Mm-hmm. The first time you say them out loud is into a microphone in front of people. So you hope they're funny. You have good instincts, you know, but sometimes it doesn't hit. I feel like I was dealing Carlino, and he's a very good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
Great comic. Funniest. He won the funniest person in Austin competition.
Oh, shit.
Cab City.
What's his name?
Dylan Carlino. He has a podcast called Some of This Is Bad. It's him and Colton Dowling. They're so funny. Two very funny gay comics.
Oh, shit.
Not because I hate their material. They're actually sexually gay. Dylan beat me, and I feel like I had him, and I told a joke about like his dead sister who was like 5.
Oh,
yeah. Completely lost the crowd, and then his rebuttal crushed. So then I was just dead in the water for the rest. I mean, I had a couple of zingers after that. Like, I was fine. Uh-huh. And it was a good round overall. It got me booked again, because that's what matters, is like you just want to do well and then get booked again.
Right.
So it was fine, but I feel like I would have won if I hadn't have told that joke.
And his rebuttal was so far.
Yeah, and his rebuttal was... He's very good. Dylan is very good on the spot. His podcast is really good. He's very good improvising.
This is him right here, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dylan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's gonna love this, by the way. He's a fucking pretentious piece of shit.
I'm pretty... Does he have like...
No, just kidding. He's not pretentious. I love him.
Wait, I think we saw... one of his...
He had the... He had the denim jacket on with white wool.
I think
wool.
That was him.
Yeah.
Taller guy?
Taller handsome. Gay guy.
Yeah.
He crushes.
Mm-hmm. He was funny.
Yeah. He has the whole thing, like his opener, not to ruin his material, but he acknowledges the fact that he looks straight up top.
Uh-huh.
And one of my roasts for him, I said that I'm high. I said, I was like, Dylan... thinks he presents as straight, which I would totally agree with if you sealed his mouth and asshole shut. Hell yeah.
I remember the first time I saw you, it was at Epic.
Yeah.
And you did 15 and crushed.
Thank you.
And it was so good, because you have a joke, I'm not going to give it away, but it's about how women can have friends in the bathroom and men don't. And I went to the bathroom, we just stood there for a second of silence, and the dude was like, I guess we're friends now. I'm like, yeah, we start high-fiving while pissing.
Should happen more. I genuinely believe that when I do that job. I think it's fun. Like, girls make friends in the bathroom all the time. Guys are so weirded out by it.
Yeah.
True.
But it's like we're all pissing, we all got dicks. Some of us.
Yeah.
Not JJ, but...
I wouldn't even need one, dude. I wouldn't even know what to do.
But but he's got a really cute pussy.
Damn, dude, Dom, I'm not asking this guy any questions, dude. You have fun, dude. I'm walking out.
I'm sorry. I take it back.
No, it's okay, man.
But yeah, Epic Comedy Hour is fun. That was like one of my goals starting out in comedy was mm-hmm. to do Epic Comedy Hour. It was really cool to come back and do it and see you guys and stuff. Epic is like, if you're new in comedy and you're in Huntsville, Epic Comedy Hour should be a goal.
Oh,
like a
100%.
It was something I did up top. Did we talk about like comedy on this?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. Sorry, I've only seen clips. That was one thing I did when I first started off, was I set like short-term goals for myself, and it worked out. Like, I was like, literally one of them at first was to make $1 doing stand-up comedy, you know? And now I've made multiple dollars, at least seven. that was like a goal. One of them was to just host at Stand Up Live. You know,
and they told me you were like the main guy they went to.
Yeah, well, it was me, Scott, and Elliot kind of on rotation.
Okay.
And I definitely got the booker definitely gave me a few bones right before I left. She was booking me a lot.
Okay, good.
Lucy Sinsheimer, I'm so thankful for her. When I told her I was going to move, I thought she was going to book me less.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me a shit ton of work there at the end. It helped me save money. And also, it was like I met like Brian Simpson, for example, that changed my entire trajectory once I got to Austin. So shout out Lucy.
Shout out Brian. Is that who your connect was in Austin?
Yeah. So this is a cool story. And I've never told it on a podcast. And I've been excited to tell it on a podcast.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
So I opened for Brian Simpson when he came to Huntsville, which is normally what I say because that's just a shorter. But really, what happened is Scott was hosting for him. I went up, met him, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm a comic here. I'm moving to Austin soon." He's like, "You're moving to Austin?" I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "You want to do a guest spot on the next show?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So I actually wasn't even booked to open for Brian, but I did both shows. Like once I did one set, he was like, "You come back tomorrow," and I did the other one, and then. Meanwhile, I was like going through a breakup, kind of like we were still dating, but we both knew that I was leaving. Mm-hmm. So it was like not going well. We were fighting and I was in the green room and just talking to Brian about it. His feature is a very good friend of mine now, Lucas McCrary. He's a door guy at the Mothership. Very funny comic, has a show at Black Rabbit on Wednesdays called Absolute Show. It's great. It's like a late night talk show. It's
okay.
Great. I think he's got a couple of those videos online too. So have you seen that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good, huh? So Lucas was his feature. Now, we're sitting in the green room. I'm bitching about my girlfriend's stuff and just like sad. I'm like, yeah, she's in town, but not talking to me, which was crazy. And Brian was like, dude, let me tell you. He's like, just follow your dreams. He was like, if it's meant to be, she'll be here waiting for you when you get back. And I was like, 10-4, sister. So we hung out. Then 3 months later, I moved to Austin. I went to the bar with like Lucas and stuff when he was in town. We didn't really hang out with Brian much outside of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very nice. Fast forward, I moved to Austin. 2 weeks later, the Mothership opens. And then I wanted to see the inside of the room. So I bought a ticket to Brian Simpson's Bottom of the Barrel on Tuesdays. And I went to the show and I walk in first off. They like take your shit at the door. You know, but lock your phone up. I go in. Who's seating people? Lucas McCrary. He's at the top of the stairs. He's like, Brian! I hadn't seen him since I'd moved. I think this might have been the first time I'd seen him in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But he also helped me out. He sent me a lot of names to hit up for shows. None of them messaged me back. But he also like helped me out a lot. He booked me on my first set. He gave me barking gigs in exchange for stage time and and money too, and that helps. Like Lucas is great. So I walk into Mothership, he's seating people. He's like, Brant, he introduces me to someone as a very funny comedian. I was about to kiss him on the lips. I was like, thank you so much. He goes, do you want to sit in the front or the back? I was like, fucking front. Like, what are we doing here? Sits me right smack dab in the front. And in the little boy in the Mothership, the front is like you can touch the comic. Like it's a bar on top of the stage that your drink is on.
Oh.
Yeah. You're so close. And it's a tiny room. Like, how many people in the little boy? Maybe like 100. 100 people max in the little boy? It's great. One of my favorite rooms in town. Black Rabbit is probably Black Rabbit's great when it's full. But anyway, so where was I? Hi.
You're sitting in the front.
Yeah,
smack dab in the front.
Yeah, smack dab in the front. Third comic up is Joe Rogan.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, well, this is worth the $45 right here. And instantly, by the way, and I said this to you guys off camera, but I think that Joe Rogan is an underrated stand-up comedian. He's great. Just seeing him live was crazy. And then I was like, well, that's worth the $45 right there. Halfway through, Brian Simpson, Sam Lopez, very funny comic, she hosts the beginning, and he picks up in, like, the last half. So he picks up, I go to the shitter, I come back, and as I'm sitting down into the microphone, Brian goes, where do I know you from? And I was like, I opened for you in Huntsville. And he goes, oh, shit, you left that girl? And I was like, I'm here now. And he goes, you want to do the late show? And I was like, absolutely. And the crowd goes wild. And I did the late show, crushed. Adam Egget saw me and invited me back to do crew show, which is like, or the open mic or something. It's like the crew show after the open mic.
Mm-hmm.
I did that a couple times. It took a while for me to get past. Like I did that a few times. I think Dylan Carlino, the night... So when I went, I didn't have the best set when I got called back for the cruise show. That's Joe Rogan.
I'm glad Brandon pulled that up. Like nobody knew who the fuck Joe Rogan is.
You never know. That's an old man right there that's confused as fuck. You don't know.
That's hilarious.
You don't know, man.
So I think Dylan and my other buddy Francisco Rincon, I think they both got passed, and I didn't really. Like, they got passed the night that I was, like, I guess auditioning, sort of, or he was like watching me again. But they, like, I think I followed. I remember following Francisco, and Francisco crushed, and then I did fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a tough follow. And Francisco, a very funny comic. So it took forever, and then eventually somebody told me that I was on the list. Like, one of the door guys was like, you know, you're on the list to call in on Mondays.
And what's Mondays?
I call the mothership on Mondays and give them my avails, and then they give me spots for the week. Or whatever. But I only, right now I'm getting like one a month on a weekend, and then I get two bottom of the barrels a week.
Okay.
So that's like, I'm a paid regular, technically, I guess.
Hey,
that's the rules. I'm paid there, and I go regularly.
You fit the description.
Yeah, I feel like that's paid regular, right? But there was no like ceremony. I wanted to be knighted. You know? But yeah, it was a long process. I've been there a year now, and it was, I mean, I guess that's not that long. But it felt like a long time. So that's my mothership story. Brian helped me out a lot. So now he gives me, you know, a couple extra spots a month, and he did my podcast. I literally just sent him the premise. I was like, hey, what do you think? You want to do my podcast? And he was like, yeah. And I gave him a date, and he was like, well, no, I can't do that date. Can you do this date? And we locked it in. He showed up. I was so nervous until I saw him walk into the Creek in the Gay where I'm recording it. Because I was like, there's no way this is actually happening. And then he showed up, and he was so nice. And he was like asking me about, like, he was like, you getting paid and all this stuff. Like, he's a pal. He's also hard to read. I guess it's the military thing.
Yeah.
He feels like.
Well, he's one of those blacks that always looks sleepy. He's just a sleepy motherfucker. Yeah, I swear to God, I got a boy like that. He was like, nigga, wake up.
When I saw him in Huntsville, yeah, his eyes were almost closed. He smokes a lot of weed. But that's, he's my boy. I appreciate him. He's helped me out a lot.
It's dope you got him on there, man.
Yeah.
It's the Spooky Fun Time podcast.
Yeah, Spooky Fun Time.
I was
got three episodes out now.
I was watching a clip where you were talking about the Nightmare on Elm Street parody, Dream Warriors or whatever.
It's the third sequel. It's like, it's the third movie in the series.
Oh, it's an actual. I thought it was a parody.
No, brother, that is the movie. It's wild.
It's insane.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3: Dream Warriors. It's like an actual sequel to the first one. The second one kind of goes. The second one, Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Mayor.
Brandon, I fucking love you.
Yeah, I love you too, man. I love you
I'm gonna
too.
Come over there and kiss you on the lips. You got wrestling action figures on your desk.
So you know, a lot of people in this world have different eras that they like. And with wrestling, I want to know, what were you, Attitude Era?
Big Attitude Era guy. Because that was like the 90s, right? Yeah. I was born in 92, so like the Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock feud is very prominent in my memory. And then I guess I don't know what's after Attitude Era. Is it still like the early 2000s? Is that considered?
Yeah.
No, they changed it up around that. So it's like when you get to like 1999 and the 2000, then they made it the PG era, right?
Oh, yeah.
What about Ruthless Aggression, dude?
That's like 2003, 2002. Gotcha.
Okay, so that may be Ruthless Aggression, maybe where I'm at. I remember like heel John Cena.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was a big like Rob Van Dam guy. I remember the ECW One Night Stand. Have you guys seen that where Rob Van Dam versus John Cena? Oh, shit, we're going all over the place.
You got him geeked up now.
We'll get back to Nightmare on Elm.
Hold up now. Let me get you.
Yeah, y'all don't need to let me drive this motherfucker. We'll be all over the place.
Look at this. Damn, right? Said that.
Well, it's three letters.
Oh, I didn't even know John Cena was in ECW. Oh,
yeah. This was WWE, but they did a ECW One Night Stand. I guess there was like a merger. The whole storyline was like WWE was taking over. It's like versus ECW. So they do it. It looks like ECW. And of course, like Rob Van Dam, they fucking love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the ECW guy. So in this match, John Cena was a face, But in this match, he was getting booed the whole he was the heel. But he still was John Cena. He was trying to be the good guy. Like, he gets in the ring, he throws his shirt into the crowd, and they throw it back. And he does it three times. He keeps throwing it. Yep. He keeps throwing it back at the crowd, and they keep throwing it back. It is such a cool match.
Yeah. Imagine if he would have won that night, man.
Yeah. Oh, they would have. Oh, dude, if John Cena would have won, that they would have burnt that motherfucker down. I swear to God, you're right. Yes. Yeah, they might have changed it halfway through. Like, hey, dude, they're going to fucking kill us.
That's what happened this WrestleMania. You remember with the, what was it? It was supposed to be like The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, they were like, nah, fuck that, man. It's time for Dusty Rhodes or Cody Rhodes to come on out there. Cody Rhodes.
Not yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you like Dusty, though. That's his dad.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, American Dream, right?
Yes,
I know that.
Good dude.
He's great. Is he Memphis? Where was he from?
I think it was Memphis because didn't he do NWA?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't in WCW.
Okay. My roommate.
He was later.
My roommate would definitely know. Yeah. Zach's like a big wrestling guy.
Because I remember in 82.
I'm starting to notice that. Like, a lot of comics are wrestling guy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
A lot of autistic comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a little autism there, man.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Zach Hedrick was my roommate. One of my roommates was a wrestler. He was like backyard shit, and he did a couple of like real shows.
That's the dude his from
signature,
here, right?
Yeah, his signature was a Shooting Star Press. You know what that is?
Yeah, that's
fucking
where
Gainer off the top rope.
Brock Lesnar broke his fucking neck.
That's
doing
right.
That.
Oh, that's right.
Shit. It's like a backflip forward,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, you're jumping forward, but your momentum is going. You do a backflip.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's a Gainer.
He could do that, like pull it off?
Yeah.
That's a risk.
Yeah,
and how do you practice
shit?
How do you figure out you can do that?
That's a good question. They had a wrestling ring in their backyard. And they would just practice shit and get hurt and get back up and do it again. He quit because he broke some shit. I can't remember. It's like both shoulders or some ribs.
I bet, man.
Dude, he fucked himself up. And then now he's a stand-up comedian.
He needed to get on DDP's program.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing yoga and shit.
Oh, so... Nightmare on Elm Street 3. I love this podcast. I just like how you guys let me talk about all right, so thank you so much, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing great, sweetie. This movie's wild. Yeah, this was like, it's so cartoonish. Like,
It's got Lawrence Fishburne in it.
Yeah, yeah. He's on the credits as Larry Fishburne. He was Larry when this movie came out. But he's just it's funny that they put him on that poster. He's just like the custodian.
Of course.
You gotta get that credit.
He's not even really a main character.
They had to put one black guy.
Yeah. Well, there is one of the kids. So I always say kids. One of the teens, I guess. They're playing teenagers. They all have superpowers in the dreams. So this is an actual sequel to the first one. The second one kind of does its own thing. The third one has a lot of the old, like Nancy, the final girl from the first one.
I was going to say she's on the left, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has her dad in it. Like people that were in the first movie that kind of. And then there's these new teenagers that are all in this insane asylum, and Freddy's picking them off one at a time and making it look like suicides. And they all have superpowers, but the black guy has super strength.
Makes sense.
The main girl, the blonde, she can like pull everybody in her dreams to like help her, and she's also like an acrobat.
And her fucking power is throwing other people under the bus.
Yeah.
This is now your problem.
I'm literally just doing the clip now that you mentioned. But yeah, it's a great movie. It's one of my favorites. It's so funny. I love a horror comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you that. You're big into horror.
Yeah.
All horror films are just horror comedy.
All of them, but my favorites are usually funny.
Yeah, and Freddy was the funniest one.
Yeah,
he's always calling him
a bitch.
He's
a man. Yeah,
I love
yeah.
That.
That's one of the kills. He slams this lady through a fucking TV and says, "Welcome to primetime, bitch."
Oh, that's funny. Damn. I might watch this tonight. I've never seen.
Oh, dude, you'll love it, Brandon. It's great, dude. It's so much fun.
I got to start on the first one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Do the first one. You can even skip the second one if you want.
Oh,
but and just do the third one because it's nobody. The second one doesn't affect this one is the actual sequel to the first one. Okay. The second one kind of does its own thing,
kind of like how It was, right? In a way, you remember how they remade the It.
Oh, yeah, well, that was like
a
reboot.
A remake.
Oh, that was a reboot. Okay.
Right. Brandon also just said in there earlier, he was like, "What's up with all these people taking Advil to party?"
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, "Are you talking about the headache medicine?" He was like, "Yeah, they're saying they were partying, taking Advil." He's talking about Adderall.
I was like, maybe they just don't want to have a headache.
I know. I was watching. I was like, this dude, he's like, I took two Well, now I know it's, what's it, Adderall? Uh-huh. At first, I was like, what's up with Advil? Like, these people going to parties and shit.
Brandon's trying to buy like, Advil, Advil people.
I'm like, well, what the fuck it do? Like, right now, I'm learning with Zen. I'm like, what does Zen do?
Oh, yeah, Zen is nicotine.
Okay.
that also did not answer his question. He does not know what that means.
I think Brent needs to hear weed, one of Brandon's stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh,
wow. Tee him up. For what?
Brandon, tell our friend here, man. There's so many.
There's
dude.
So many, but you right. Go. To, what happened the first time you busted a nut?
This is. I've been wondering this whole time. I'm glad someone asked.
Wow. Well, since it's on the table, the first day I did this, I got scared because I didn't know what was happening. Because I was a kid, I didn't know shit, right?
So were you confused that your cum wasn't black?
Dude, this was the time that I didn't even know what beat me was. Like, kids would come up and be like, hey, man, you beat your meat. And I'm embarrassed to say this now, but I used to really think people were hitting on, like, meat and shit. Yeah. So I would be like, what the fuck are you talking about, beat meat? Yeah. But I was curious when I found out. And then I was doing it, and then it happened, and I got scared and, like, freaked out. Because I thought I got hurt.
Your bleeding cum?
It was weird. I was like, this shit ain't going down. I almost ran to my family. I was like, bro.
It ain't going down.
And then after I realized what happened, I was back the next day.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Didn't you say you were scared it was going to explode?
Yes. Like I thought, because, dude, when it happened, I was like, yo, this is weird. This is not right.
This was 6 years ago.
I was a kid. Yeah. I was like, how old was I? Probably like 14.
Jesus Christ. That's the first time you jacked off when you were 14?
I didn't know shit, man. You might want to tell you when I was.
I may have been 12 or 14. How old are you when you jacked?
Definitely in junior high. We were on Yahoo chat rooms. You go to Yahoo chat rooms, and then you'd be like, in for in, nude for nude. And then you would go there, but no chat rooms would do it besides the lesbians. Now I know it was just guys doing the same thing we were doing.
Yeah.
But we would all go in there and send a neck of pictures, and then they would send us ones back.
That
and
is so funny. Used to
be like fake pictures of Christina Aguilera and shit like that.
Yeah, I've never thought of it. I definitely did shit like that, too. Never crossed my mind that it was just another dude like me on the other side.
I didn't think about it till like recently. I was like, dude, those were
That is
dude.
So goddamn funny.
Until he tried to get back on there. And he's like, oh.
Wait, so you said it would look like girls, but it wouldn't be?
No, it would be like real pictures, we're talking like we're like sex talking to
them. You would cyber. Shit. Yeah. Cyber sex?
Yeah, cyber sex.
I thought you were talking about getting tricked. Like that shit.
Yeah, Jay, you're probably too young to remember that.
Oh, hell yeah.
No,
that's the way.
It was, I was like 12, but that was like 2015.
Oh man, it's a long time ago. Sure.
But our big thing was Omegle, where you could just get on camera with random people, and there'd always be dudes with their dicks out.
Yeah, what was the other one? Chat Roulette.
Monkey.
Chat Roulette was dude. Probably so many crimes were committed on that website. It's insane, dude.
Oh yeah, lots of penises.
That's always funny too. It's like you just roll the dice, like, and odds are you're getting a cock. Yeah. But you roll the dice anyway because it might be a boob.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You might catch a lady on a bed
for every probably 50 dicks. You might get a lady with a boob.
Would they be already like jacking off and shit?
Because they're doing the same shit. Waiting for a lady, but they're way ahead of the game.
The interest tag. So you type in a tag of like, oh, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I want to have a conversation about. And if you look up like hot girls, you're just going to find other dudes jerking off.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? It's a double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword.
I used to use those like as dating apps when I was younger. You remember Monkey?
Oh my gosh.
How did you do on Monkey?
Monkey was like the mobile app version of Omegle. It was the same concept. Yes. You get matched with random people, but like that one was wild there would be like actual like children on there because it's like they could get it on their iPad or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yikes.
Playing
this
with fire.
This is when I was young. This is when I was like 12 or 11. I get on there and I used to, man.
Brandon, you had a hard enough time in real life, dude.
My friends would put me on there and they'd be like, look at this nigga right here. The girls would be like, oh my gosh, what the fuck is that? And then they would get all the numbers and shit, and I'd be like, well, damn. And they'd be like,
Brandon, tell Brent about your feet pic selling adventure.
Oh, you don't want to tell him about that?
You saw pictures of your feet?
No, I didn't. So,
yeah, well, okay, well let's be truthful here.
So my friend, I hate that these are all true, but my friend, we were on FaceTime, and he's like, this is a weird question to ask, but he said to me, he was like, hey, man, you know, I'm having a bad day. How about you just do this for a second of your foot, and I'll give you $2. And I said, you know what? Sure.
This is your buddy?
Yeah, like, listen, man.
They're still friends.
They're still
friends.
Yeah.
It's like best friends.
If I was FaceTiming, like, Alex or Matt, that, and they, they did, weird. I would probably never talk to him.
Yeah, I know. But I grew up with this dude. I knew this dude since I was in second grade. I literally met him because he threw rocks at me, and we were like, we hated each other at first, but... After he had like a Wii system, and
he got a glimpse of that foot.
Yeah,
he had a glimpse of them piggies, and he was like, "Maybe we can be friends."
He was a big wrestling fan.
Did you hear his rationale for being friends with him? He was like, "I met him because he was throwing rocks at me, but he had a Wii."
Because dude, I went to his house. He's like, "You got a Wii?" I was like, "You got a Wii?" And dude, we went to each other's house. Every day after that.
Wee all the way home.
Yes,
yeah. He hit him with a damn. What are you doing?
Yeah, there it is. But yeah, it only happened twice. It was bad. The second time he was like, hey, man, you know, I don't learn sometimes. But he was like, hey, man, just real quick, I'll give you $2 more. I know you're struggling.
And we told him already at this point, like, dude, your friend shouldn't be asking you and paying you. Like, it was a joke. He wouldn't pay you.
Do you tell these stories on stage?
Sometimes.
We try to get him to. He doesn't even understand why they're... He told us, like, when we first started hanging out, how he almost got kidnapped and molested four different times.
Okay. Brother, you need to just be on stage being as honest as possible. You need to just be doing what you're doing right now, because that shit is so funny. And no one's had your perspective. No one, that's never happened to anybody else. Really? On the entire planet.
Tell them about the monkey bars, bro.
I'm almost convinced this is a bit. JJ's making shit up. And you're also making shit up.
I'm his friend.
Call a dude right now. He'd be like, yeah, man, I remember that shit. Dude, so there was this special kid that was helping me on the monkey bar because they used to sing all a little special too. And like.
Yes,
dude,
brother.
Dude,
yes.
So he was helping me. He said, dude, I'll hold you up like this. And like in the middle of it, he swung me on my back and made me fall, right? And I was like, hey, what was that about? And he was like, I'm sorry, man. You want to do it again? And I said, sure. And then he hit me again. I was like, yo, wait, hold on, man. This is not right. What's your problem? He said, I'm sorry, man. I keep tripping. And then the fourth time, I couldn't get up.
Fourth time.
I learned that this, yeah. And then I was like, fuck this.
Who's
dude.
The special one?
Yeah, I was a weird kid. Like, I was weird. And my mom told me, because she was like, dude, back in the day, you didn't know shit. She was like, this kid was throwing rocks at me. And is he my friend? And she was like, no, Brandon, fuck no. And now I know that's my friend that we talking about right now with the foot.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's the same dude with the football.
Hey, so you were a baseball player.
I was bad.
14 years. Yeah. Oh, well, you had a batting average of 105.
Shit, why do you know this?
Right?
How do you know?
Negative 3.5 WAR.
Oh, damn.
I don't even know what WAR means. I don't watch baseball. What is that? Is it pronounced war? Or?
What? Do you really have it? Is it my stats?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, we got everything, man.
Dude, you showing him the info, dude?
No. That's bad, right? 0.105?
That's
terrible.
Dude. Yeah, that's real bad. Yeah, I was
But you're a pitcher, right?
I played. No, I was, I was a second. You motherfucker. Yeah, I'm a top. You son of a bitch. I was a second baseman. And I played for 14 years and sucked the whole time. It was bad the whole time. My dad was my coach. I wish at any point someone was like, hey, maybe this isn't your thing. But there weren't really a lot of options in my high school. It was like an Alabama high school in the middle of nowhere. You know, I didn't, you know, I sang in choir. I wish I would have done like a drama program or something, but it's fine. I feel like I was funny, but I sucked so bad. I finally quit my junior year of high school because I was like, wait, this is the only place where I ever, it's not like I was, I guess bullied is the word, but they were my friends, and we were like, once I quit baseball, it was all good.
Mm-hmm.
They were just basically letting me know in a funny way that I sucked at baseball. but I was like a kid, you know, I was anxious and it hurt my feelings, and finally I was like, oh yeah, this is is the only time this happens. Everywhere else, I'm pretty respected. I'm funny. You know, it's like on the baseball field, I'm getting so much shit because I suck. So I was like, oh, okay. So I quit and I was happier. Yeah, but I played for a long time. I played every sport. I played, wow. I played
football?
Played football a couple years. Free safety.
Free safety. Jesus Christ. How many times did you get truck?
Oh, dude. So I was actually pretty good.
Really?
Well, I have like this whole reckless abandon thing.
Oh,
like,
okay. You went at him.
Yeah, I would just put my body on the line. But I wasn't. I'm not very fast. My toes point outwards. So in basketball, I'm very good at defense because I'm good at strafing. I'm fast as fuck. On my basketball team growing up, I was the fastest one if we were strafing. If we were sprinting, I was slower than the fat guys. Yeah. I was slow. I'm so slow.
Yeah, I feel you on the joining drama club thing. I wish I'd have did that, but I thought that made you gay.
So right. I mean, I did sing in choir, and that was pretty fun.
You did choir?
Yeah, in high school, yeah. Like a couple of years. I quit that too, but I did it for a couple of years. Fuck you guys. Yeah, I did
in
that.
In Alabama, though. Yeah. That's a bold choice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, well, I had some friends in there. And nobody really gave a shit. It was also, here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you guys had this, but like my high school is East Lawrence High School. It's very small. I went to school with the same motherfuckers kindergarten to
That's how I was.
Yeah, we have to graduation.
Yeah,
so
we do. We actually,
yeah. So I don't know. Nobody really gave a shit. My friends would bust my balls or whatever, but they like, I don't know. Senior year, I really started to become myself. I feel like, you know. So I didn't really give a shit.
Your dad's a big 6'3" blue collar dog.
Yeah. My dad is a construction worker, angry guy, very funny guy.
Why'd he make you drive with a quarter on the dash?
This is crazy. Do you guys do this much research every time?
Yeah. Oh. Hey, we got our intel guy.
That's our research guy.
This dude's a monster, secret weapon.
Yeah, so
that's Nardwar.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So my dad, yeah, when he taught me to drive, he put a quarter on the dash because he wanted me to drive smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to stop and take off without the quarter moving. But here's the thing, fellas, that's not how momentum works. So I got yelled at a fucking lot because this quarter was sliding out the dashboard, and I would get frustrated and yell at him. Like now, I like, you know, I've gone to therapy, and so I also have an anger issue. But now I'm self aware of it. But used to, my dad would yell, and then I would yell, and that would piss him the fuck off. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to. So yeah.
when you had the anger issue, you get in a lot of fights?
I've been in 3 fights. I headbutted a guy at a bar one time.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
The Glasgow kiss, dude.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yep.
Yeah.
What is it called?
The Glasgow kiss.
So yeah, I told this story I think on my pod, but I was walking out of a bar and I was with a lady that I'd been seeing. And somebody yelled, I just gotten fired from the radio station like 2 weeks before this, 102.7 Kiss FM.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And, yeah, I
2013 to
2019. This is crazy. This is so funny. I love this so much. This is really stroking my ego. So we were leaving the bar and this dude yelled out her by name. He was like, hey, you're making a mistake. And I was like, what the fuck did he say? And we kept walking. And then he said it again. And then like a third time, I was like, okay, well, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I walked back. I was like, hey, motherfucker, what's your problem? Or something like that. Something, that, you know, similar.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, bah, 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 radio. I was like, what? And he's like, you think just because you're on the radio, you could do whatever you want? And I was like, motherfucker, I ain't on the radio anymore. And at this point, we're like this close. And he's like, good, because you got a shitty radio voice. And I remember just thinking, okay, I can't. Yeah, I mean, That didn't bother, like what he said didn't bother me. It was just the fact that I was going home.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was what angered me was like I was leaving. I was going home. I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And he wanted to start some shit. And I was like, I can't walk away from this situation and not hate myself. Because I had been in 2 situations prior to this where I backed down. Like I did a set one time at, where was it? It was this place called the Boiler Room in Florence, Alabama. This musician that booked me on my first 10-minute set to open for his music thing. He was like a pop guy. Remy Neal is his name. Do you know about this? Is this on the goddamn paper? Get the fuck out of here.
Wow. Yeah, let's find it.
So right, that was my first 10 minute. That was my first 10 minute sets. Was Remy Neal. So he comes to
Lips Lounge.
Lips Lounge?
Remy. Sorry. We can cut that out.
No, we ain't cut it. What the fuck is
the Remy guy? Sorry.
Oh, really?
What the fuck is Lips Lounge?
The karaoke bar by Speakeasy.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
So, yeah, Remy's a pal. He saw me to open mic in Huntsville. We drove from Florence like an hour and a half to do the open mic in Huntsville. And he saw me. He booked me to do 10 minutes before his set. Mm-hmm. And it went pretty well. Luckily, the stage lights were right in my fucking face, so I couldn't see. Like, I had a table of people there for me. I'm pretty sure it was mostly them laughing. But luckily I had the lights in my face and I couldn't tell. It wasn't in my head. I had a fine 10-minute set. So fast forward, Remy does a show in Florence and he texts me. He's like, hey, swing by and do some time while I get some beer or something. And I was like, sure. Well, it was the worst set of my life. The audio wasn't great for stand-up and just people were ambushed with it. A guy came up to me after my set and he was like mad. Like just that I did it. Like he, and then like I had some fraternity brothers there that saw me bomb. And this is like, I was like only a few months in.
You know? Oh shit.
I'm like, yeah.
You only a few months, you did 10 minutes?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I was like Damn. 6 months in. I mean, you're always going to be asked to do more time than you have. You're always going to, you got to stretch at least once, right? So you're always, the first time you do five, you probably don't have five, but you're going to do five. The first time you're given 10, you can do 10, but you'll stretch, you'll figure it out. So, bomb of my life. And this dude, buff dude, in like a too small of a shirt, comes up to me and he's like, hey, that joke you did about kicking that baby or whatever. He's like, "That I thought that joke was obtuse." I was like, really? Because I thought it was a cute joke. No, but he was an asshole. And I didn't punch him in his face. And then there was like another time where like, I went into like fight or flight when I was, this is also a girl thing, but a dude tried to hit me. I like ran, like I just went into fight or flight. I ran across the street and I was like, oh yeah, what the fuck am I doing? And then I faced him and then like we scrapped up. He took my shirt off and then cops pulled up. Like he tried to like pull my shirt over my head. I slipped out of it and then the cops pulled up.
Oh, okay.
And well, then,
you can't
so,
do nothing about that.
Yeah. And so all these guys, anyway, those are two times where I bitched out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm standing in front of this motherfucker. He's just being an asshole to me while I'm leaving. I was like, I'm not doing this again. And I did one of these, like I pulled off my glasses, like fixed my eye and I headbutted him in the nose.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why he let me do that. But that, I'm telling you, that's what happened. And like, there's one guy, like I know a lot of people were outside, but there's one guy, if I see him in Florence, he delivered for like Coca-Cola. If he sees me out, he's like, yo, he's like, this is a bad motherfucker, you know? Because I busted him open. And then I remember he like swung, I didn't have my glasses on. I think I handed them off to someone. And then like, I was like, he was punching at me. I remember dodging. And we eventually, somebody just, they were like, hey, just leave. And he stretched he got blood all over my all over my Golden Girls shirt. Not my blood.
Oh, no.
And he like stretched the fuck out of it where it was unwearable. But that was it. And then I went home with that lady. And I scared the shit out of her. She was like, what the fuck?
Was she riled up though?
Well, she was, yeah. I think she was probably confused. Cause she,
oh, yeah, that's gonna do it.
She saw me. Because she, I'm just a nice boy, you know? She see me do stand-up comedy. I'm silly and fun. And then I headbutt this motherfucker in the face. She was like, oh god, what am I?
Oh, that's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say you're dangerous. Crazy. If they're like, he's dangerous, he's funny, yeah. He's nice, but
yeah,
you took him off and they'll fuck
so
you.
Yeah, and all that just built. Yeah, I have an anger issue and it's like I only recently figured out how to set boundaries and how to communicate without anger. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I've never been like abusive to any of my, I don't, didn't mean to sound like I've ever beaten the shit out of you. But I've just always been, you know, I'm just an angry guy, and I usually keep it like pinned up. And I used to come out on stage a lot. Alex saw that a lot. I used to like, yeah, like you telling people to shut the fuck up and stuff like that. It wasn't great. But I don't know. I kind of like that about myself. I like that I'm a little spicy. I think it protects me a little bit.
Because you're a nice guy. Like every time I've met you, you've been nice. Your stand up is great. Amazing. First of all, let's put that out there. Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Your stand up is bomb. You. If you're out there,
I bombed twice on Kill Tony, so don't hold that against me.
Oh, hey, we're Eskimo Bros. You're the first person that's been on Kill Tony too.
Eskimo Bros. That'd be crazy if you just had a lady's name on that piece of paper. Matt Bamwart, ladies and gentlemen.
Hell yeah. Shout out. Matt's hilarious too. He was a roast battle host in Chicago. Roast Master.
He was one of the co-founders of Roast Battle Chicago. Or founder? Single.
We got superstars, and we wish we can get them on, but we don't have any more mics. So,
We're on a budget, guys.
He's chilling.
But next time you come down, dude, and we'll have all kind of shit on you, man.
Hell yeah. Good shit, man. We may try to do this again in like 6 months.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Because we had so much fun. We didn't make any money, but it's been a very fun trip, and we're best friends now.
Hell yeah.
No, it's been fun. It's been good.
Hell yeah.
Gay as hell.
I had never seen your stand-up before yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't...
You didn't come to Epic that time because you hate me?
Yeah, it's because I knew Brent was there and I fucking hate that guy. Yeah.
Well, you're also in school, right? That's...
Yeah, well, Dom is too.
Yeah, I am.
Yo, really? You're 47 years old. Jesus.
Yeah, dude. Hey, GI Bill, I get paid for it.
Oh, that's
sick. I'm about done with this shit.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, and then
I'm slow too.
Then I had to fucking follow this guy at Stand Up Live, dude.
How'd it go? Oh. We had a jet. Did you do good?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. I was pleased.
I didn't have the most fun there. They were a little tough.
They were.
Yeah, Raina really had to like crack them open when she opened.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was tough.
Sometimes Stand Up Live is like that.
Oh, yeah.
And depends. You would think it'd be the other way around since it's a comedy club.
Well, here's the thing. For those, I don't know if I'm outing their business, but for those showcase, like those are usually free tickets. Mm-hmm. Nobody bought tickets to that. Some people probably did, but most of them are probably like giveaways to pay.
Yeah, and they call you up and like, you got five free tickets too.
Yeah, so that room can be tough when it's a lot of that. Any papered room is because the audience has no investment.
Mm, okay.
And then they're pissed about the 2-item minimum.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so.
And the prices aren't.
Right. They're entertainment. Like venue prices, but goddamn, that food at Stand Up Live is so good.
It is.
I think about those chicken wings all the time. I used to live off those motherfuckers.
That's what I did. That's what I had when I was there, dude.
Yeah, they're great. Oh, you made chicken wings for us today.
Bomb.
So fucking good.
I appreciate it,
Thank you so much, man. Dom can throw the fuck down in the kitchen.
I don't know if you could tell.
We can tell.
And then those shoestring fries with the queso on top.
Okay. Yeah. He fucks with it.
Yeah, right, good, very good. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Now, speaking about food, I hope this is false, but you only eat hamburgers cold and cheeseburgers hot?
Okay.
So is this real?
No, that's stupid. Brandon wrote that.
Huh? Did he? No.
That's so dumb. Fucking idiots. Just kidding. I did have a cult. The other day, I was at this. There's this really funny show at Sunset Strip in Austin, and they always do like stand for the national anthem, and it's always something crazy. And somebody sang, it was like, stand for the national anthem. And a guy sang, take me out to the ball game. And then a very funny comic. What's the comic's name? Who? Scott Fillmore. Scott Fillmore was dressed as a, I think that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Gay guy, door guy at Sunset?
Scott Fillmore.
Scott Fillmore. He was throwing hot dogs into the crowd. And I opened one up. I was like, I'm about to snack on this motherfucker. And it was a bun around. It was just a raw hot dog.
Oh, yeah. This dude right here?
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's done Kill Tony. He's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he also roasted Heath.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. They had a really funny battle. Yeah, Heath won.
Heath is your roommate, right?
Yeah,
now.
Heath is my roommate.
Or he crashes on your couch. Yeah,
he's...
He would hate if I said that. He pays rent. He pays a third of rent.
Oh, okay.
He does have to sleep on the couch because that's all we got.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he sleeps on my bed sometimes, not with me. But every once in a while, if I'm gone, I'm like, hey, my sheets are clean. If you want to crash on my bed, you're good. You know, but he does want to find, he's getting his own place soon.
Shout out Heath.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. He was great.
He was nice.
Yeah, he's a great roommate too.
Is he?
Yeah. He does the dishes. He's funny. I laugh with Heath more than I laugh with anyone.
Oh,
he is
okay.
So goddamn just naturally funny. We play Switch sports a lot. we've been playing a lot of Switch golf and bowling. That motherfucker is so good at Switch golf and bowling. I'm better at golf. He's better at bowling. And then we also started playing tennis, which is fun. We're on the Switch.
Okay, still. Yeah.
Not real. Yeah. No, we're fucking, yeah, we're not, me and Heath, we don't play real sports. But yeah, he's great.
I love that sketch you did about the Jinx vibe.
Yeah, me and Heath, so Zach Hedrick, I guess, did the final, like he wrote it out, but me and Heath riffed that idea out. Like we were just laughing about it, like, Jinx, you owe me a soda, bitch. That sounded good.
That was a great impression.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll drop that in right here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh shit. Is he dead?
I don't know. We should call an ambulance.
Yeah, we riffed that. We were just laughing about it. It was so funny because I think we did like say something at the same time, and he was just like, "You owe me a Coke." I was like, "I'm not giving you a fucking." Honestly, I think our riffing might have been. We should have incorporated this in the sketch, but really, what happened was he was like, we were just riffing, and he was like, "You owe me a Coke," and I was like, "No, I fucking don't, stupid." And he's like, "You better give me a fucking Coke right now," and I'm like, "I'm not giving you a fucking Coke, you psychopath." And then we're laughing about how funny it would be if he just killed me with a Coca-Cola and make it a Coke commercial. So that was where the idea came from. It was fun.
That was hilarious.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You got? No. Okay, because I was going to say that this is the end of the episode. I thank you so much.
Whoa.
Oh, we could go longer, yeah, but I don't know if you guys got it going.
Is it 50 minutes now?
It's 47 right now.
Yo, that flew by. That was so much fun.
Hell yeah, I'm telling you, it's been a great one.
This is really good.
Let me get some more shit off that piece of paper.
Okay, hell yeah.
Dude, I got you. So your first open mic, you did one 2 years before this, but you don't consider that the start of your career? It was on June 5th, 2019 at Singing River Brewery in Florence, Alabama. Your friends pressured you to do it with Kevin, but he was a huge pussy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Kevin pussed out. I called him right before I went and did the mic, and he was like, "Give me what you have." And I ran some shit by him. He goes, "Yeah, we shouldn't do this." And so I was like, "Okay, he's kind of right. Like a couple of things weren't great." I got in the shower. I rethought over my set. Like threw in something. My first bits were a lot of things that I was kind of saying to a lot. I kind of had bits before I started doing stand up comedy, just like at parties where I would tell the same stories or say the same joke or always do pew pew pew. Like whenever something bad happened, whenever somebody was like, "I got herpes," I'm like pew pew pew. You know, whatever. Shit like that. So that was like what my first set was, and it went well. Before that, 2 years before that, I did Copper Top, and I had never done stand-up before. I didn't understand the concept of like the time thing. They gave us 10 minutes.
Oh, shit.
And I had a solid 2.5, 3. But instead of just doing my three and sitting the fuck down like I should have, I stayed up there for a miserable another 7 minutes.
That's wild.
Of just talking and trying, and it was so bad. I didn't get. You know.
If you're watching this and you don't do stand up, that's insane.
Yeah. So then,
that's so fucking crazy.
So after that, I started watching Kill Tony. That was back when it was at the store, and that got me. I was like, okay, I get what I'm supposed to do. I was listening to podcasts. I was listening to like Tuesdays with Stories. I started consuming way more comedy because I'd always been a fan. Me and Miles, who started shortly after me, is like one of my best friends. And I officiated his wedding, but I lost my train again. What was I talking about?
how you got into comedy?
Okay. So Miles, why did I bring him up though? Fuck, I'm so high. where was I before? Right before that, Miles. Fuck.
You helped him with the wedding.
Yeah. Okay. I did. Oh, that's right. So I did 10 minutes, and Miles started shortly after me. I was going to tell a story about Miles, but I forgot it. But that's it. Copper Top. Yeah, I bombed. Okay. So me and Miles went to a lot of shows together. That was what I was going to. We went and saw Segura at Zany's, and this motherfucker's like doing like huge venues now, theaters and stuff. But yeah, we saw him at Zany's, we saw Joey Diaz at Zany's, and then shortly thereafter Stand Up Live opened, and I think we might have saw Bert at Stand Up Live.
Okay.
And the day I took Scott Easton's comedy class, I saw Tell.
Oh.
And that might be the best one of the best live performances I've ever seen.
No, go to the thing I pulled up earlier. Let's minimize that. I think we got a picture of what you're talking about. Go all the way to the bottom. Yeah, go down. There you go. Is that when you met Tom Segura?
Oh, shit.
Let's pull this up.
Yeah, that's me, Miles, and Tom Segura.
Let me go down. There it is.
Oh, I saw
Dundee. Okay, yeah, there it is.
That's my high school girlfriend, Mark Viola.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shit.
You're good.
Fuck, I'm all right. Oh, that was when I did comedy and drag.
That's what I was about to ask you, 2019 at Shenanigans.
Yeah. Me and Zach did comedy and drag. The one on the right is from whenever the pandemic, that was 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, and we did a show on the fucking loading dock. I didn't know that picture existed. Where did you find that?
He's a beast.
I would love for you guys to send me that picture.
You can have all.
Yeah, we did a show on a fucking loading dock behind Shenanigans, and people backed their goddamn cars in and tuned the radio to a certain frequency that they could hear us on the radio. But it was like you couldn't hear them laugh, so it was so lonely. And then you couldn't. They were. I think at first we were honking, and then Wendy's was like, "Hey, you guys got to stop." So then they were just like flashing their lights, and it was really hard to do stand up. But I mean, I was a few months in, I was almost a year in at that point. It was like I was getting better, and it was good to just say my set, you know? I think it was good.
Hell yeah. I was just talking to Alex about this. I was like, I'm the type of comedian, I have to go up a lot.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, well, that's, you should. Mm-hmm. You need to get on stage. You need to not be turning down any stage time right now where you're at. You need to be on stage as much as possible, going to the gym constantly. You're going to get stronger. You're not going to notice. And then you're going to get booked at Stand Up Live, and you're going to crush, and you're going to be like, oh, that was super easy. That's why I go to all these bar shows.
Yep. And then what we want to this is a comedy podcast about, we're all young. We're all under a year. And well, I mean, young in comedy. All right, Alex. This motherfucker is not out of roast mode.
Yeah, yet, also, Alex has been doing comedy for like 14 years.
But we like to, for people who like watch this, usually it's somebody who thinking about starting stand-up or starting. And what do you got any advice for?
Okay, so I don't feel like I'm in a place to give advice, but I will. I will. I feel like I'm still a baby. Is the advice that I would say. I'm 5 years in. Mm-hmm. I'm a five-year-old in comedy. I'm a kindergartner. This is not a sprint. It's a, what's the other thing? What's the
marathon?
This is a marathon, not a sprint. Just don't quit. Do it as much as possible. You're going to get better. And, get on the road. Try your jokes out other places. There's shows in Tuscaloosa. Go up to Chattanooga when you can. Mm-hmm. Sign up for the Laughing Skull open mic. Meet people. go to every Epic Comedy Hour. Just go there. Try to help Scott. Ask Scott to take you on the road. He took you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott's the best comic in town.
Oh, he's dude's a monster.
He's been doing it. He
murdered in Memphis. Yeah, I mean, they were holding their sides.
That's what I'm saying. He's a monster. And we're very lucky to have him here. He's integral to the scene. He's the reason that I met like Nashville comics, Atlanta comics, and was able to get booked in those places. He took me on the road with him.
Mm-hmm.
Absorb every bit of information that guy has. You know what I'm saying? Just do it as much as possible. Be nice. Be likable on stage and off stage. Just be nice. Be professional. Don't annoy the people that book you. Say don't ask a bunch of questions. Just thank them for booking you.
That's big. That's huge. People don't realize that's huge.
Yeah,
right there.
Just thank them. Just say thank you so much for the spot. You know, do your time. Don't run the light. I need to do this. Write more. Like, just write all the fucking time. But also, don't be scared to repeat jokes. Get them good. Work them out. Like, do like a rotation thing. So, like, you have a 5-minute set.
Mm-hmm.
If you have two things that worked, keep those. Put in two new things. Do those two old ones and the two new ones.
Okay, yeah.
And then when you get those two old ones, like, good. I when I was here, I definitely did the same shit over and over and over again. So, but I feel like those jokes are really strong now.
Mm-hmm.
And no one cares, you know?
Yeah.
Don't feel... Content is good, but don't feel obligated to post it. Like I said, this is a marathon, not a sprint. If you got famous right now, JJ, what the fuck would you do with it?
Absolutely nothing.
You don't have an hour.
I'd have like an Antonio Brown breakdown.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have... So your product is your stand-up. And not just you. I'm saying in general. As comedians, our product is our stand-up. And... where we want to sell our product, but your product when you're new, that's mm-hmm. just it. Like my product isn't as good as it's going to be in 6 years. You know, my product is going to be really good when I'm a 12-year comic. I think, like I'm on the track. I think when I'm been in it for 12 years, I think I'm going to be like very good at this. And until then, just don't feel obligated to try and get famous. If you got famous right now and you don't have an hour, like the point of having followers is to turn those into ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
If you sell tickets to a piece of shit product, a piece of shit show, they're not going to come see you again. You know? So you want your product to be good and then hope, like, just post your content, do whatever you want, but, like, you eventually want to pop when you're ready. If you pop too soon, you'll be famous on TikTok, you'll go on tour for a year, and then the next year, like, your agent is just going to want to get a bunch of money from you. They're going to overprice the tickets, you'll go on tour for a year, and nobody's going to come see you next year.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, and that there's exceptions, and there's comics in Austin that have been doing it for a shorter time than me. Like, I think that Cam Patterson is like 2 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Heath is like a year or two in. You know what I'm saying? It's not linear. Like, people are going to pass you. You know, and that's
But you can still tell when I watched them, but you can still tell they're new and comedy, like they're dynamic. Like when you see Cam, he's going to have you laughing because Cam is funny. But like,
Yeah, he's killer. He's just one of the monster. Best, and he's also to the thing about being nice. That motherfucker is so nice. If he walked in here right now, he would dab every single one of us up. If there were 40 of us in here, he would walk around the room. He'd be tired as fuck, and he would dap up every single person in here. Comic. Whatever, like he's the nicest motherfucker, and he's great, and he's so nice to like, you know, he's a buddy. He's like he hasn't changed a bit.
I love Cam because being from the hood, you know, there's so many funny motherfuckers there, but they can't put it together, you know, and get it on stage. And I was so happy when I saw Cam. I'm like, he's the one that was able to put it all together, and I love Cam. I'm so glad he's the new You know, I love David Lucas too, but you know, it's his time to go ahead and do his thing.
Right. Yeah, Cam's fucking great. I saw him like when he first moved, he had like 15,000 followers already. And now he's
that
like,
was before he got on?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, just from posting reels from Tampa.
Oh shit.
Orlando, sorry. Okay. Orlando. But yeah. He had like 10,000-15,000 followers when he moved to Austin. And then now he's at like 300K or something.
Deservedly so.
He's great. Well, that was fucking crazy. Yeah. Got to see that's my ex-girlfriend, Emma.
Nice.
Nice pose.
Yeah, that was our senior prank. We all dressed like children and rode like tricycles and shit
to school, I had a little three-wheeled scooter. It had a bicycle tire on the front, and then like,
oh shit,
yeah, and then the back was like scooter tires. It was weird.
Oh, well, I got one of those now. But I promise you, I'm not right. It's just like stuck in the back.
I don't know what the fuck happened to that thing. I know what happened to that relationship.
All right, Brent, this is the end of the podcast. What we're going to do right now, you just, first of all, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Thank you guys so much.
We really appreciate this, man.
Thank you.
And this camera right here, you're going to tell them anything. This will be out on Monday, so tell them anything you got coming up, where to find you, all your socials and everything, your podcast.
Okay, watch my podcast, please. It's Spooky Fun Time. It's on all the places where podcasts live. The full video is on Spotify and YouTube if you want to look at me. Follow at Spooky Fun Time Podcast on Instagram. And kind of a long handle, but it's all they would let me do. Follow Brent Reed Comedy on Instagram. And I'm usually at the mothership like the first of the month for Bottom of the Barrel.
Hell yeah. Hey, thanks again,
hell
man.
Yeah. We really appreciate this stuff. Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. You guys are great. I love that you're putting back into... Oh, did you already end it?
No, it's still going.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Still going.
I was just going to say, you guys, what you guys are doing for the Huntsville comedy scene is great. And you guys are very funny. And keep doing it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
And we really appreciate it.
All right. Love you. Bye.